You know, the gentleman is going to share his thoughts with us. I had to twist his arm the first time or two. And now I think he knows that it's good for him and certainly good for us when he gets up and shares his thoughts. It causes him to look at his own thoughts. And when he gets up here and shares them, I think it's good for all of us, but it's also very good for him. And he's a tremendous man. I've loved him now for a lot of years. He won't marry me because he's had too many other women in his life. But he's coming up and he's going to share his thoughts with us. And I know you're all going to fall in love with George Thorne. It's about George.
I've been hearing that since I was in the third grade.
Georgie Porgy couldn't and tied.
You pick a brand new word.
Those of you who are new to church, the more she loves you, the more she abuses you. So. I think the first thing is watching that group of ladies who are up here, I think we need a name for them. I want to call them the Lovely Sisters. What do you think? So, I've been speaking here for several years on and off, and I usually try when I to spend some time and really write out everything. And I had, up until a week or two ago, I had it all figured out what I wanted to say tonight. And then last Saturday happened, and I can't let it go. I can't let it go, and I need to talk about it a little bit, so I ask you to bear with me. Because it just pushed a button in me, and I don't have any clear answers, I have questions. But last Saturday, as we know, in a synagogue in Poway, not far from here, a gentleman went in with an AR-15 and shot up a synagogue and killed a young man and killed a woman, who, by the way, stepped in front of a rabbi and saved the rabbi's life. A week before, and we hear anti-Semitism. Now I have a question. What would God say? What would Jesus say about that? Week before, young man drove his car in Northern California into a group of people thinking they were Muslim. Just mowed them down. What would Jesus say?
Could have been none.
Last week, one of the presidential candidates walked under the hotel in Las Vegas into the tunnels directly beneath the hotel where the homeless live, and right above it is a $100-200 million hotel. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? We're keeping babies in the border in cages. What would Jesus say? It's just really getting to me, but I think deeply that we need to start understanding that it's not about political parties, that it's all God, and we need to get that. It's not a political problem, it's a spiritual one, and I believe that very deeply. And I was trying to figure out how I'm going to tie that with what I wanted to talk to about tonight, because it isn't that, and how it would tie in. But something kept telling me, Spirit kept telling me, that it is all related. And of all things, I want to talk tonight about the story of the prodigal son, which is the book of Luke. And I have a bit of a different take on it, but at any rate, for those of you, most of you know the story, father and two sons. One of them worked really hard, and the youngest decided that he wanted to take all of his money that his father had that was due to him, and he wanted to go out in the world. And he did so, and his father gave him that part, and he went out and spent many years having the time of his life, right? And he squandered all of his money, and he wasted all of his money. And then when he ran out of money, he finally decided that he'd go home again. And he felt ashamed. He felt very sad. And he didn't know how he was going to face his father. And he just felt terrible inside. When he got home, what happened? His father met him with a celebration and said, "Get the fatted calf, kill the fatted calf." And the older son, who had been working in the farm all these years while the son was off playing, said, "Father, why would you do this? How could you do this?" And the father said, "Because he was dead and now he's home. We're going to celebrate. You'll get yours." There's all kinds of meaning and symbolism behind that. But I have another take on it. And what I found, because it's something that happened to me a few weeks ago. And my take on it is, when he went home, he felt very ashamed. He felt like he was not worth much. His worthlessness shone. That's how he felt inside. And it took his father to show him that that wasn't the truth of who he was. That wasn't the truth of his being, that he was honored, that he was celebrated by his father. And even the name Father could be a symbol of God, right? And I think there's a huge lesson in it, and I think it ties to all the stuff that I talked about earlier. And so about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had to go to a funeral. I didn't have to, but I went, in Northern California in Sacramento. And I was with some members of my family that I hadn't seen in 30 years. I had a lot of tough things happen when I was growing up as a kid. And I just basically shut my family out. And so here are three cousins whom I mostly, one of them I hadn't seen in 30 years, who always, you know, they send me cards, what, and I always responded, but I was never dealt with them. So here I am, up I go. To the funeral, and how am I going to be received? I felt awkward. I felt ashamed because all of a sudden it hit me what I had done, and I had my own reasons for it. So how was I greeted? I was greeted with open arms. I was greeted with love. I was greeted with compassion like nothing had ever happened. But the lesson, and I had a very dear spiritual friend say to me, he said, "George, this is the story of the prodigal son coming home again." And I went, "Oh my heavens, that's what it's about." But the lesson for me, and I think the lesson of the prodigal son, is how you feel about yourself inside. They knew who I was. I didn't know my own goodness. I didn't know my own worth. But they knew, and they greeted me with open arms, like the prodigal son. Like the father greeted the prodigal son. And I really thought about that because it's a huge lesson. And I think it's something, if I can, I think it's something that we all project into our own lives sometime. And isn't it interesting that we need other people to validate who we are, our own goodness, our own worth? Yet that's who we are inside. Because if we're part of God, greatest name for God is good. And I believe that with all my heart. So, after the question, "What would Jesus say?" My other statement to you is, welcome home. Come home to God. What do you think that young 19-year-old man that did that is happy and believes in himself? Has any sense of self-worth? What must he think in his mind to have done such a horrible thing? What must the man who ran down the people, what must he have thought about himself? Interestingly, he was a soldier, and he was a sharpshooter, and he'd just come back from the war. That's PTSD. But what must he have been feeling in his own soul? And as Millie talked last night in our class, there are so many heartbreaks as a result of all of this. And it just ripples throughout families and children and everything. But I think the lesson today is, in all of this, is welcome home. Is to know, as Millie always says, that we're part of God. And we forget that, if we ever knew it. We're part of God. And I always ask people, if you don't think God is all there is, then you show me where God isn't. One of my favorite things Millie always says is, if you want to know who God is, go outside and watch a tree grow. Right? It's the truth. God is everywhere. And we're part of that. We're part of that divine. But I don't think we know that. And I think that's the biggest. So a week or two ago, Millie sent me a little story she does from time to time about a band leader named Tommy Dorsey. How many of you in this room even know who Tommy Dorsey is? Wow. The rest of you youngins. He was an incredible band leader in the 40s, 30s, 40s. And the story was about, he was home with his wife, Nettie, who was giving birth to his baby boy. And he had to go out and play in a revival meeting. And so he went to the train station. He's all excited to go, but he didn't want to leave his wife. Gets to the train station, realizes that he'd left his music case behind, so he goes home to get his music case. Goes back in, grabs his music case. He's walking out the door, and he senses there's something wrong with his wife. And he felt, part of him feels that he could say, but he looked in the bed, and she's resting comfortably. Everything's okay. He was going to a revival meeting. And he goes to the revival meeting. Everything's going great. In the middle of it, somebody runs out on the stage, hands him an envelope, and the envelope from Western Union said, "Your wife died." What do you do with that? And then that night, his baby boy died. So here he is, feeling all guilty, feeling horrible. But then something happened. He found God. And he found the God, and he wrote a song, "Praise Lord," which I'm not familiar with, which I guess is a favorite. And in the story it said, then he lived joyously for the rest of his life. And he was an incredible musician. He was just phenomenal. I love the big band music. And I thought, how do you do that? How do you go from have that happen to your family and live joyously? Because he found God, and he found the God inside of him, and he was able to live joyously. These people in this room have gone through similar, and I admire them greatly for who they are. So, again, the lesson keeps up, the story of the prodigal son. To me, there's many interpretations, but part of me thinks that it's about coming home to the God in us. Welcome home. Why do we feel good when we come in here? Because this is home. This is where we're supposed to be. This is our natural energy. This is our life. This is the truth of who we are. Welcome home. A few weeks ago, and it sounds kind of weird maybe to bring it up, but Tiger Woods won the Masters Golf Tournament. And I don't know if many of you know the story about what he's gone through. Many say the world's greatest golfer. And got married, beautiful woman, children, and then his father died, and he totally went off the rails. And started doing all sorts of things, drugs, alcohol, you name it. His career went in the pot, literally. And he also hurt his back. He ended up having 4 back surgeries. And at an age, but he kept pushing. He kept pushing. He kept pushing. At an age when many in the golf world would retire, he just won the Masters for the 5th time. It's an unbelievable athletic conquest. He found out who he was. Welcome home. Welcome home. So I think there's many of these stories, and we can go on and on and on. For me, when I went up there to Sacramento and went through what I went through, and I was so moved, again, by what my family did and how they reacted. And one of the greatest things so that my cousin's husband, who had passed away at 91, was a minister, was a Presbyterian minister. And she and I have become very close over the years. I'm trying to find something. And she said, George, I want you to have this. And she gave me one of his crosses, which has not left me since that weekend. Welcome home, George. Welcome home. So that's essentially what I wanted to talk to you tonight about, is how important that is that when we get angry, when we don't feel that we're all that we should be, when we feel that we're less than, when we feel that we're not important, when we feel snubbed by others, welcome home. This is our natural state. This is the truth. This is the light. This is who we are. Welcome home, and thank you very much. Thank you.